3 years of high temperatures and drought have brought more wildfires to the western United States. With resources and budgets stretched thin, local and national agencies use private companies to support their efforts at battling wildfires. Contractors supply everything from fire engines to firefighters. The largest employer in this business is the U.S. Forest Service. At the Carpenter One fire last year on Mount Charleston, trucks with private company logos became a pretty familiar sight on the fire lines, along with green Forest Service trucks. But not everyone is convinced private firms are a good idea. Some fire experts believe private companies put profit over the environment, while others believe more oversight of these firms is necessary. Joining us now is Casey Judd, manager of the Federal Wildland Fire Service Association. Casey Judd, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Most people who are evacuated during a wildfire probably don't realize that some of the firefighters trying to save their homes work for private firms. How have private firefighting firms changed your business?
I don't know that it's changed it at all. We, as a country, and as we've gotten more fires, bigger fires, et cetera, of which are caused by a number of factors, the agencies, the land management agencies, federal, have come to rely on additional non-federal resources to fill in some of the gaps, and that's including, federal folks or private folks, state and local government fire agencies. Mm-hmm. And so there has been an increase, definitely, in the use of non-federal resources. Some of them can be very, very costly, and predominantly that's the local government entities that enter into cooperative agreements with, say, the Forest Service that are really quite lucrative.
Mm-hmm. Now, Casey Judd, you have been a critic of the oversight of these firms in this whole process. Tell us a little bit about why.
Well, it's not a question of the oversight of the firms, per se. It's mm-hmm. a question of oversight, of any oversight, or lack thereof, of the funding that Congress appropriates to the land management agencies for wildfire preparedness, suppression, and hazardous fuels reduction. So there's three separate budgets. They have continuously expended most of their suppression money by the fall of the year. They'll go back before Congress and say, gosh, it's been a really bad year. We need more money, and Congress will hand them another $500 million without batting an eye. No one's bothered to really look at where those costs are going to determine if there's some mechanism for reducing those costs. So it's not our concern as far as a specific cost on a specific entity, agency, resource, et cetera. It's the overall spending and recognizing that those that have the purse strings in their control for the land management agencies have virtually not a lick of wildfire experience or expertise among them. And so naturally you would assume you're going to get a little bit of waste and fiscal mismanagement.
Mm.
And that's what we've been trying to address over the last few years.
Yeah, can you give us an example of one of those areas where you've been trying to get oversight to address some of these expenses, where you're not sure the money is being spent as wisely as it should be?
Well, in 2009, Congress passed what was called the Flame Act, and that was designed to prevent budget transfers. In other words, the Forest Service was complaining that they had to use non-fire budget money to end up paying for suppression costs. And so Congress said, okay, we'll pass this law that allows you access to additional money so you don't have to do that. Congress nor the administration never funded that, and of course we felt that that was simply another blank check for the agencies to go and access and waste more money.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Congress has introduced the Wildfire Disaster Funding Act, which is basically another open-ended blank check for the agencies to access more money to mm-hmm. waste and mismanage.
Casey Judd, when you say that extra money to waste and mismanage and such, what does that extra money, that wasted money, look like? I mean, is it extra porter potties? Is it catering? I mean, what kinds of things are we looking at?
Let's be perfectly honest. There has been a cottage industry that has just grown exponentially over the last 7 to 10 years to support primarily non-federal crews in the fire camps and if anyone goes to a fire camp, I think they'd be in awe of the little city that's created. I think folks would be in awe of the 140-page food service contract.
You said 140 page?
140 page food service contract.
Mm.
And with these cooperative agreements, and again, I'm focusing specifically more on state and local government entities, they're very, very lucrative. And so you have the federal government, rather than spending money on their inherently less expensive federal resources, now going into these cooperative agreements to pay for hotels and motels, to pay for admin fees to the fire agency from which the resource came, backfill costs to pay for another firefighter to come into that place where it is vacant because you now have one of their resources. And more interestingly enough, a lot of recently retired federal folks have been hired back by local government fire agencies for the sole purpose of being sent out on federal wildfires as a single resource, which makes that fire agency just a stunning amount of money. So unfortunately, the federal wildfire response has become somewhat of a feeding frenzy for a number of entities in the last few years.
Mm. Now, also with us is Debbie Miley. She is Executive Director of the National Wildfire Suppression Association, and she joins us by phone from her office in Lyons, Oregon. Debbie, welcome to KNPR.
Thank you.
You just heard Casey Judd talking a little bit about the idea of a cottage industry popping up around these private companies who fight fires, things like the 140-page food service contract and such. Does that seem like an efficient use of funds to you? I mean, what do you make of it when you hear stories like that?
Well, I agree with Casey that, yeah, you know, when you talk about this, you have to talk about three different types of folks that are assisting with wildfires, those being federal agencies, and you've got state agencies and cooperators, and then you've got contract resources, which we are. All of them are paid very differently, so I think that it's appropriate for me to talk about the contract industry because that's obviously the one that I'm the most familiar with. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that when it comes to private entities that provide anything from timber fallers to bulldozers to 20-person hand crews, that those folks, the agreements that we work under, are call when needed resources. So we are not in any way, shape, or form replacing any of the federal or state folks that are used on fires. We're simply there when they get to PL3 and they're running out of resources. Those folks are available on call, and they're only paid for the time that they are actually utilized. So that does, we think, make us a good value. In addition to that, the folks that work under these agreements, the majority of them, also live and recreate in the areas that they're helping protect. I mean, so they are the majority of them live in the rural areas. They not only do fire suppression, but they also do forestry work. And I think in terms of some of the things that Casey was talking about with the Flame Act and some of the allocations by Congress, one of the things I think we'd like to see that I think is probably a bigger issue is the fact that they used a lot of the funds that could have been used for reforestation and landscape work that would help reduce the risk of wildfire are being used to fight fire. And I can tell you that the majority of our folks would be more than happy to be doing some of the reforestation and landscape work as opposed to fire suppression work.
Now, Debbie Miley,
in this world.
Yeah, well, but based on some of the things that Casey Judd was describing, I think it could be argued that some of the things that surround these contract firefighters when they're on site, it would be lavish. That there's money that could be otherwise spent for things like preventing firefighter, you know, clearing undergrowth, things of that sort, which you were kind of alluding to.
Okay. Well, let me give you an example that will hopefully put into perspective the size of our industry And I'm assuming what you may be talking about is the fire camps that Casey's referring to. Now, those camps are set up whether we're there or not. Those contracts are in existence whether they're using private folks on the fire or not. So it's not specific to our industry. But an example is in 2010, just the Forest Service spent about $1.3 billion on fires. Of that, our portion that the folks that are in private industry were paid, including mobile and showers, mobile catering and mobile and the showers and crews, followers, water handling equipment, etc., was $33 million. So we're not we play a significant role in terms of providing resources when they're needed, but we don't make up a significant portion of that budget.
Yeah, it's a fairly small portion. At the same time, though, Debbie Miley, are there wasteful or lavish amenities in these firefighting camps?
Well, I would tell you I would encourage you and anyone else to visit a fire camp. When your folks are, and I've personally been there, when your folks are out on the line and they're out there 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, they can go up to 21 days without a day off, or 14 days without a day off. They sleep in tents. They sleep in sleeping bags on the ground. So providing them with some luxuries of being able to take a shower, have restrooms, have food catered in and lunches out on the line, in my opinion, is probably not what I would consider extravagant.
Yeah. And Casey Judd, what about Debbie Miley's point? If firefighters are there for weeks on end, don't they deserve
I don't think lavish is the right word.
Yeah,
And I think Debbie's right in the sense that the fact of the matter is, over the course of the last 10 years, people have recognized that the federal wildfire program is lucrative, and you could make some good money by supporting that venture. And, you know, the public, when they're faced with a 100-foot wall of flames, could care less how much the government is spending, let alone complain about how slow the government is responding. So they don't pay attention to the costs. But again, the cooperative agreements that we've been talking about, a lot of local fire agencies have come to learn that the federal agencies will pay a good premium for their services. So they negotiate these cooperative agreements for those services, and embedded in those cooperative agreements are things like housing for motels.
Gotcha. Casey Judd, in our final few seconds, we just have a few moments left. Firefighting costs in the U.S. have doubled in the last 5 years. Is that a function of drought, or is it a function of the way in which we spend the money?
It's a function of drought. It's a function of the increase in the wildland-urban interface, but it's also a function of the agencies having no incentive to be cost-effective and motivation to be cost effective, and the cost of non-federal resources, specifically state and local government, have just skyrocketed.
Skyrocketed. All right, Debbie Miley, going to give the last 15 or 20 seconds to you, and same question. Double costs in the last 5 years, is it more drought or spent the way in which we spend the money?
I agree with Casey. I think there's a variety of issues that relate to that. I think primarily one of the biggest things is the shift in dollars from pre-suppression work to reduce the risk of wildfire-prone areas, to using those dollars for fire suppression. We're sort of using it on the back end instead of the front end.
Debbie Miley's executive director of the National Wildfire Suppression Association. Casey Judd's manager of the Federal Wildland Fire Service Association. Thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.